Listen for the word of the Lord from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. Then when the days stipulated by Moses for purification were complete, they took him up to Jerusalem to offer him to God, as commanded in God's law. Every male who opens the womb shall be a holy offering to God, and also to sacrifice the pair of doves or two young pigeons, prescribed in God's law. In Jerusalem at the time, there was a man, Simeon by name, a good man, a man who lived in prayerful expectancy of help for Israel. And the Holy Spirit was on him. The Holy Spirit had shown him that he would see the Messiah of God before he died. Led by the Spirit, he entered the temple. As the parents of the child Jesus brought him in to carry out the rituals of the law, Simeon took him into his arms and blessed God. God, you can now release your servant. Release me in peace as you have promised. With my own eyes, I've seen your salvation. It's now out in the open for everyone to see. A God-revealing light to the non-Jewish nations and the glory of your people Israel. Jesus' father and mother were speechless with the surprise at these words. Simeon went on to bless them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child marks both the failure and the recovery of many in Israel, a figure misunderstood and contradicted, the pain of a sword thrust through you. But the rejection will force honesty as God reveals who they really are." Anna, the prophetess, was also there, a daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher. She was by now a very old woman. She had been married 7 years and a widow for 84. She never left the temple area, worshiping night and day with her fastings and prayers. At the very time Simeon was praying, she showed up, broke into an anthem of praise to God, and talked about the child to all who were waiting expectantly for the freeing of Jerusalem. When they finished everything required by God in the law, they returned to Galilee and their own town Nazareth. There the child grew strong in body and wise in spirit, and the grace of God was on him. These are the words of the Lord.
Let us pray. Most merciful God, we ask once again that you send the same Holy Spirit that fell upon Simeon that made him sing. And we pray that that same Holy Spirit would help us to hear his words, to let them have their way with us, that ever so more Christmas might be something that does not end up in our rearview mirror, but that it might be something, the reality of the incarnation, that changes who we are day by day, because you, our God, is with us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I've asked a few people this week, and a few have asked me, "Did you have a nice Christmas?" It's actually the wrong question. Christmas actually lasts for 12 days, and so the proper question from now up through January 5th is this: are you having a nice Christmas? I'm not being pedantic in pointing this out. It's just that we tend to think of Christmas as over once December 26th arrives, and it's time to get wound up for the new year that will begin the next week, or as we should say today, that will begin tomorrow. The incarnation of Jesus Christ is not something to be put away and forgotten. It is rather to be celebrated. And its significance for our lives and the life of this world is to be pondered over by you and me. I know that that is all easier said than done. After all the shopping and the eating we do during the Christmas season, there comes the day of reckoning when the credit card bill arrives, and also when we stand on the scale in the bathroom. We look at the new year with determination to work off the debt we've accrued and to get busy dieting and exercising to fit more comfortably in our clothes. The birth of the Messiah gets crowded out pretty quick by so-called real-world concerns, which is precisely why there are 12 days of Christmas. As we've heard from what has been read and proclaimed in these first couple chapters of Luke, the birth of Jesus is a big deal. Angels have shown up to give testimony to the Word of God. People have broken out in song. And even angels themselves have sung. These phenomena, they're all trying to get our attention and give witness to the fact that Jesus' birth is the birth. That there's his birth, and then there's everybody else's birth. The world has changed because of it. And instead of returning to the status quo of our lives and living as if Jesus' birth changes little or next to nothing, we need to pay even more attention as to how it changes everything. The fact that there is more for us to consider is evidenced by the fact that we have heard yet another song in our passage here this morning. The Song of Simeon, known as the Nunc Dimittis. For 2,000 years, it's been the last thing that the church has sung before it's gone to bed at night. Even Mary and Joseph. Mary, who had the visitation of the angel Gabriel and heard Zechariah sing his song, and Joseph, who along with Mary already heard what the shepherds had told them, what they heard out watching their flocks by night. Both of them, we've heard, were amazed at what Simeon was singing about Jesus. Simeon, well, we really don't know a whole lot about this guy. Just that he was somebody who hoped God would help his people Israel once again. And that God would send this help by someone anointed by God. But by the Holy Spirit, he knew that the anointed was this little baby, this Jesus, when he saw the parents present the firstborn child in the temple according to the Jewish law. And so he sang. And as Ludwig von Beethoven told us, music is the higher revelation than wisdom or philosophy. That's how we know what is being said is important. When Simeon croons out, "Now you are dismissing your servant master according to your word, in peace, because my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all the people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel." Question is, what might amaze Mary and Joseph in that song? They've already heard about peace and glory from the shepherds who heard the angel host's choir. Both Mary and Zechariah have sung about salvation done publicly by God. But what is Simeon's song that is unique? It's this. He sung about Jesus' birth, a light of revelation to the Gentiles. The Gentiles being that whole world out there that is not in the camp of Israel. Yes, the birth of Jesus is particular. It is local. It takes place amongst Israel. But it is going to have universal implications. This is the first thing this morning that we need to be reminded of. Jesus Christ has been born for everyone. There's no special claim that Israel had upon him. And therefore, there's no special claim that the church has upon him. He's here in this place this morning for the sake of the people out there who need to recognize that light has shined in the darkness. The incarnation of Jesus Christ is for everyone on earth. Just read another song, the servant song of the prophet Isaiah, from whom Simeon stole some of his words. In chapter 42, the prophet witnesses, "Thus says the Lord, thus says God the Lord, I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant people a light to the nations, meaning the Gentiles, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. If our hearts do not expand during Christmas for every single last soul on earth, excusing no one, if our hearts don't expand during the Christmas season for every single person, wanting and hoping that the world will recognize that its Savior indeed has come, then we have to think much longer and much harder about why we're celebrating it in the first place. It's interesting. After Simeon concludes his song, he wasn't yet finished. He has a little coda. He says to Mary, "This one, this baby, is appointed for the falling and rising of many in Israel, a sign to be opposed, a sword that will pierce your soul, so that people's thoughts will be shown for what they are." We need to hear this too. Jesus wasn't born to come along and say, "Good job, everyone." As we've heard, he came to step on many a toes, perhaps toes that are in this room right now, perhaps mine. Yes, the salvation of the world, the light being turned on the darkness, means the darkness gets chased away. And if we're clutching on to darkness, that might make us feel uncomfortable. And if the song wasn't enough, we've heard a prophet named Anna. If you did the math, you know, you add 7 and 84. She's at least 91 years old, according to the text. But I think she's even older if we read it carefully. She shows up right at that time and confirms what Simeon is singing. Again, Christmas is saying, pay attention to what's going on in the life of this child. Very, very closely. Eventually, as we all know, the 12 days, they end. Christmas will be over. The 12th day of Christmas will be January 5th. January 6th will be the Epiphany of our Lord. But what then? It's not for nothing that earlier back in Luke chapter 2, we have heard that the angels have gone back into heaven. We won't see them again in the Gospel of Luke for a very long time. Twice, in fact. Once when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night that he was betrayed, it says angels came and ministered to him. And then there is a peculiar looking man who shows up at the tomb on Easter morning, who later we find out is described as an angel. That's all we get of the angels. Question is, what are they doing in the meantime? They're doing the exact same thing that you and I will be doing. They look and they behold Jesus Christ. They learn, like you and I do, what it is for God to become one of us. This is something that is new for them as well. What is this salvation that we have announced, this word of God that we have brought to earth? What is it going to look like? How is God going to accomplish this? They get to discover how this blessing, this salvation, this glory, this peace, this upsetting of the status quo actually comes about. You can see why Christmas is important. It has focused our attention on this one person that has come amongst us in Jesus Christ. We want to know who our God is and what this God is like and what this God does. You got to look right at this baby, right at this man, and nowhere else. May we continue, sisters and brothers, for the next few days. Give yourselves permission this week to continue to celebrate Christmas, to keep your eyes upon Jesus Christ so that when it ends, our eyes will not depart from Jesus Christ, but will remain upon Jesus Christ, just like the angels, so that our eyes too will be open to and witness the glory of God in this man, Jesus Christ. Let it remain Christmas until its appointed time. Amen.